This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening and for following us on Facebook and on Twitter at America Weekend. This week, I read a report from the Center for Media and Democracy about who our highest paid government workers are in the United States of America. You know, there's been a lot of controversy in the last couple of years about people who work in the public sector. We've seen attacks upon them because they are in unions or because they, quote, make too much money or their pension funds are bankrupting cities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think a lot of that is really unfair because the people who work in public sector jobs, by which I mean teachers, cops, firefighters, nurses, social workers, these are not the richest people in America. Nobody goes into teaching at a public school because they want to be a millionaire. And they go in there because they want to help people. So do nurses and all the other people that I just mentioned. It's not like they're Wall Street, asset and forfeiture guys. They're not the ones who drove us into the financial crisis of the last 5 years. But they are taking far too much blame. So the Center for Media and Democracy decided to go out and see, well, who are our highest paid government workers? And it turns out that a lot of the people who are getting most of our taxpayer dollars are not in the public sector. They're actually in the private sector because we've outsourced work to them. Here to talk about all this is the General Counsel for the Center for Media and Democracy, Brendan Fisher. Brendan, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
This is part of a project that the CMD is doing called Outsourcing America Exposed. And so here today, I'd like you to reveal some of the people or some of the companies that are at the top of your list.
Sure. So as you mentioned, we launched a new project earlier this year called Outsourcing America Exposed, and you can visit it at outsourcingamericaexposed.org. And we've looked at the top 12 companies that are privatizing public services and assets, basically outsourcing what should be public, and making it private. And in many cases, that this results in higher fees for taxpayers, and lower quality services. So this week we did a profile of K-12 Inc. This is a online school provider that was started about a decade ago with a $10 million investment from junk bond king Michael Milliken. And in recent years, there's really been this explosion of these virtual charter schools. These are schools that kids attend from their home on a computer. The school provider, K-12 Inc., basically gets paid just as much per student as a brick-and-mortar school, despite the fact that they don't have to provide buses, they don't have to provide heat, they don't have to provide air conditioning. They have one teacher for as many as 100 or 200 students, but they still get the same amount that a brick-and-mortar school does. So in Pennsylvania, for example, taxpayers pay K-12 Inc. nearly $10,000 per student, which is twice what it actually costs K-12 Inc. to educate that student. So where does the rest of the money go? Part of it goes to advertising, trying to recruit more students to their schools, but a significant part of it goes towards CEO pay. Ron Packard, the CEO of K-12 Inc., made $19 million in compensation last year.
What?
This $19 million. And basically, 86% of K-12 Inc.'s profits come from taxpayers. K-12 Inc. took in $848 million last year, and 86% of that is from K-12 Inc.'s contracts with states and state and local governments. And so we as taxpayers are sending 86% of K-12 Inc.'s profits to them, and we are basically bankrolling this $19 million compensation package for K-12 Inc. CEO.
And I got to say, Brendan, I can see some use for a program like this where, let's say you live in a rural area and it costs a lot of money to bus kids miles and miles and miles and miles to get them to a school, or you're in an area where you can't afford to get decent teachers in there. Okay, well, they can do it online. The kid sits in front of a laptop and he has a teacher who he can interact with online, and it's a good teacher, and they're proficient at doing it in this online forum, and they can really reach kids in areas where good schools don't exist right now. I can see see that working out. But to be a profit-making venture for somebody who doesn't have nearly the overhead of a brick-and-mortar classroom is obscene to me.
Yeah, it's right. I mean, the problem is not with online schooling per se. I think there's a space for online education, particularly like you mentioned in a rural area or an underserved community where a student may not be able to otherwise take AP courses, for example. But I think there are serious problems when students are exclusively in online courses because there's a large socializing aspect to school also, especially for young kids. It's not only the reading, writing, and arithmetic. It's also the interacting with other students and interacting with authority figures. There's a lot of other benefits of actually going to a brick and mortar school. But even setting that aside, perhaps there'd be some way to justify these extreme, outlandish CEO salaries if K-12 Inc. schools were performing, and they're not.
Oh.
Only 27% of K-12 Inc. online schools met state standards in 2010 and 2011, the most recent reporting years available, and that's compared to 52% of public schools. So these schools are drastically underperforming. They're drastically underserving students, but they continue to get contracts, and they continue to take taxpayer dollars and compensate their CEO very handsomely.
Now, so here is the argument against all those people who say private companies can do it better and private companies can do it cheaper. Here's a company that's doing it for the same price, pocketing the profits, and doing a worse job than the schools that they are replacing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you look at it, and when you look at the privatization of a variety of services and assets, time and again, you see similar patterns. You see high CEO compensation. You see returns being generated to shareholders, but for the public, you see worse performance, higher fees, and in the end, the public is also losing its voice in the way that these assets are run. You know, you're probably not going to be on a school board where you can have some sort of say in how K-12 Inc. schools are operated. Their accountability is to their shareholders. It's really not to the communities that they serve. We've looked at around a dozen of these of the privatization of these different assets. Another good example is roads. The privatization of roads. That's something we've seen over the past several years. Macquarie and Transurban are both Australian companies that have been buying up American roads, and what we've seen is drastic increases in tolls, which has a really severe impact on the larger transportation infrastructure. Because when you jack up tolls, you drive traffic onto residential areas, and then higher tolls also disproportionately affect the poor and working class. You have to redirect more of your income towards driving. And on top of that, these toll road privatization projects have also come with non-compete clauses. So if the government wants to build another expressway within 10 miles of the corporate road, or if they might want to build a light rail system, for example, that's considered competition with Macquarie or Transurban's contract with the city or with the state. And the local state or local government has to pay Macquarie or Transurban the cost of their lost profits. So by the public needing to do something that's necessary, you actually could be in a position where you have to pay a private company for doing something that needs to get done. And that's just, you know, that's just one example. And we continue to document these at outsourcingamericaexposed.org.
Yeah, you know, roads are not supposed to be a moneymaker. Okay, you know what? We'll hire contractors to go lay the road, and we'll hire architects to design the road, and we certainly have to maintain the road, and we're going to hire private companies to do that. I don't have any problem with that. Do you have any problem with that? No. So this is turning everything into a toll road with non-compete clauses is as ridiculous as hiring a company to teach kids but doing a worse job of it for more money. And again, We started this by talking about how, you know, teachers are under attack in this country because of, oh, they make too much money and their pensions are too high. The CEO of this company is making $19 million. That's more than 100 or 1,000 teachers combined. Absolutely ridiculous. I'm glad you're on the job here, Brendan. Thanks for joining me here today.
All right. Thanks for having me.
That's Brendan Fisher, General Counsel for the Center for Media and Democracy. See more at OutsourcingAmericaExposed.org. We'll put a link on our America Weekend Facebook page. America Weekend.